Somebody asked me what happened to my sandals. Do you know that it's 140 miles from Jerusalem to Damascus? And they wasn't made all that good. So anyways, today I'm thankful for being here, and I'd like for you to know, I don't know how many years ago that I learned the book of Galatians, and Tom said, why don't you get you a biblical outfit? Well, here it is. Thank you, Tom. And so today our desire is to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior, to magnify God's word, to see the saints rejoice, and hopefully, either here or out there, that someone will hear the gospel and be saved. I'll start with my testimony, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, separated unto the gospel of God. I'm starting out right, ain't I? Already messed up. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I, Paul, am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. If any man's work abide which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and I profited in the Jews' religion. And let me say something, there is big money in religion. All you've got to do is look around through the world and you can see it. I know, because I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of our fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Let us have a word of prayer. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. Amen. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and we spoke to the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened so that she attained to the things which were spoken by me. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us that if we found her to be faithful unto the Lord, that we would come into her house and there abide. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation." And this she did many days. But I, being grieved, turned to the Spirit and said, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught me and Silas and drew us into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought us to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against us, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat us. And when they had laid many stripes upon us, they cast us into prison, charging the jailer to keep us safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust us into the inner prison and made our feet fast in the stocks. Let me speculate. Silas said, "Paul, is this the way it's going to be, serving the Lord and trying to spread His gospel? We're going to be beaten and cast into prison?" And I said, "Silas, you don't understand that our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Just hang in there and let's see. Let's just trust in the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. And let's see where this goes. And at midnight we prayed and sing praises unto God. Can you help me out? "I'm redeemed by love divine." Boy, you're awful loud. "Glory, glory." Help me. There's prisoners listening. "Christ is mine." You're not going to help me. Jamie. "All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed." And at midnight we prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard us. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, drew out his sword and would have killed himself. You know why he was going to kill himself? If you remember back in Acts, the 12th chapter, when the angel broke Peter out of prison and the king had the keepers examined and put to death, he knew what was coming. "But I cried with a loud voice, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before us. And he brought us out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And we said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And we spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that was in his house. And he took us the same hour of the night and washed our stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought us into his house, he set meat before us and rejoiced believing in God, God with all his house, speculate. I said, what do you think now, Silas? Huh? What do you think? Was that worth that little bitty beating we took? Was it worth it? How many people is this family going to bring to the Lord through their testimony, through their living for the Lord? And who knows? Every prisoner that comes in here, he's going to tell them about the love of the Lord and what he did and how he died for their sins on Calvary's cross and maybe saved some of those. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant saying, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told these same things to me. The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Speculate. And I said, would you run that by me one more time? And he said, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. And I said, that's what I thought you said. They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that we were Romans, and they came and brought us out and besought us to depart out of the city. And when we had gone out of the prison, we entered into the house of Lydia, and when we had seen the brethren, we comforted them and departed. Now when we had gone through Amphipolis and Apollonius, we came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And as my manner was, I went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and raised again from the dead. And this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some believed and consulted with me and Silas. And of the devout men, which were Greek, a great multitude, and of women not a few. But when the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring us out to the people. And when they found us not, they drew Jason and certain brothers unto the rulers, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the ruler of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let us go. And the brethren immediately sent me and Silas away by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scripture. What do you mean searching the Scriptures daily? I'm telling you what it says. You want to come and look in my office? I got 4 years of Bible college, all them plaques, all them seminars I went through. Hey, wait a minute. That sounds like 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where the Bereans come from, huh? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And some believed, and of the devout women, which were Greek, a great multitude, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of me at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people, and immediately the brethren sent me away, as it were, to go into the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still, and receiving a letter unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to me with all speed, they departed. How many people, while we're waiting on Silas and Timotheus, let me pause for a minute. How many people know the perils of Pauline and what he went through to get the 13 books to the church, the body of Christ? Let me just give you a little of my testimony. Of the Jews, Five times received I 40 stripes. Once was I stoned, and they were non-alcoholic rocks too, in case you're thinking. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. Besides all of these things, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, which had been hidden from before the foundation of the world. Back to Athens. Now, while I waited for them at Athens, my spirit stirred in me. When I saw the city wholly given to idolatry, it's like driving my chariot through my neighborhood about mid-October. Well, the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed I in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout person, and in the market daily with them that met with me. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered me, and some said, "What would this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because I preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took me and brought me unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers that were there spent their time in nothing else but to hear or tell some new thing. Then I stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before and the bounds appointed of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also certain of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commendeth men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man in whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." I was thinking, "No, you won't. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you're lost, you need to come to the knowledge of the grace, the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary's cross for the total and complete payment of your sins. Howbeit, certain men clave unto me and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Now, I told you that I preached unto the Athenians the resurrection of the dead, but it's not recorded. So let me share now with you, in closing, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. For if the dead raised not, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Oh, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. But praise God, hallelujah, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ first fruits, after that they which are Christ at His coming. Behold, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. That's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, what we got coming to us is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. He done all the work. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm blind without my glasses. If I got three more minutes. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And there comes that senior moment. I can't rewind the tape. If God be for us, who can be against us? He has spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not? How shall we not believe?
How shall he not freely give you all things?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yea, as it is written, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your love that took you to the cross of Calvary, where you shed your precious blood for a debt that you didn't know, because someone so unworthy, such as I, owed a debt that I couldn't pay. Thank you for this gathering, Lord. Pray that each one here received a blessing, and that someone heard the gospel that will touch their heart. Go with us throughout the day, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Misquote it, but someone once said, it's not how much time you spend in the Bible, it's how much time you've been in the Bible, it's how much the Bible has been in you. And you can see that Jim not only spends a lot of time in the Scripture, but that Scripture has got a hold of his heart where it's inside of him, and so we really appreciate him coming and sharing God's Word that way. It was a couple weeks ago we were talking about, I forget why, but we were talking about the infirmity in Paul's flesh. And I explained to you then that there's a couple of different ideas, and it's either that persecution or his eyesight. And did you notice Jim walked over trying to look at the clock? Because he couldn't see from here to there. He can't see that clock. So when he's the Apostle Paul, he's the Apostle Paul, all right. And so we appreciate the time that he spent. I wanted to go over just one other thing with you, and that is he kept praying and giving the gospel over and over again, but an illustration that we often use. If this hand represents you and me, and this wallet represents sin, but sometimes wallets are brown, this is black, so it represents sin real well. The Bible says all have sinned, and we're sinners because we've sinned. We're sinners by nature because we're sons of Adam, but we're sinners by practice because we've all sinned. And so we have sin on us, and God does love sinners, but he hates sin, and that sin separates us from God. And when the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we'll be eternally separated from God because of our sin. There's nothing you can do to get rid of your sin. You know, a lot of people go to church, but that don't get rid of sin. They'll confess their sins, but that's just agreeing, yes, I'm a sinner, but that don't get rid of the sin. they turn over a new leaf, but that don't get rid of sin. You know, there's all kinds of things that people do religiously to try to get rid of their sin, and there's nothing you can do. Salvation is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Because God sent his son to earth, and he became a man, and he lived the sinless life. And he went to a cross and died on the cross as if he was a sinner, but he was not a sinner. He died, the Bible says, for our sins. He was buried and then rose again. I'm not going to get it in there. And rose again victorious over our sin. Our sin has been taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be reconciled unto God by the death of a son. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, here we are as sinners. God made his son sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's what God is waiting for us to do, is not to try to get rid of our sins, but trust the payment that his son made on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. And salvation is given to us on the basis of faith and faith alone. And so what Jim was pleading, what God would plead, is that if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that today would be the day that you'd realize what he did. When he dresses up like Jim dresses up like the Apostle Paul, when he said he was the chief of sinners, he was leading the rebellion against Christ. And then by God's grace, Jesus Christ revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, but also revealed his grace, undeserved, unmerited favor. And Paul then was driven to suffer anything he would have had to go through to get that gospel of grace across to others.